Today's reading is from Romans 8, Life in the Spirit. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemns sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you, Robert. Do keep your devices open, your Bibles open, as we come to Romans chapter 8. Let's bow our heads before we look at this together. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you would show us wonderful things. Speak to our hearts, encourage us, strengthen us, and build us up as we look at what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is one of the most amazing declarations in all the world. The declaration that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That is, there is no condemnation for those who have put their faith in Christ. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But if we're going to feel the full impact of this statement, of this declaration, we need to recognize what our lives are really worthy of. And last week, as we looked at Romans chapter 7, we considered the civil war that rages within the hearts of every believer. I wonder how the past week has gone for you, if you're a Christian this morning. How has that war gone? I trust that we've had some success in putting sin to death in our lives. And we should praise the Lord for that. But at the same time, sometimes, as we take sin seriously, we realize quite how sinful we are. We become more aware of the way we love to live life our own way. You see, it's a bit like this. Have you ever let your car get a little bit dirty? I took the care to park down at Nelson Street today, so you can't see what my car looks like. But your car gets a bit dirty, and you think, yeah, it's dirty, it needs a clean. But when you get the soap and the sponge out and you start washing it, you begin to realize quite how dirty it was. It may be even that in the process of cleaning it, you realize that there's a dent that you hadn't seen before, that there's a scratch that you hadn't noticed. Well, it can be like that when we start taking sin seriously in our lives. As we seek to live faithfully for God, we realize quite how much we like to go our own way. So if you were to be asked to give an honest assessment of your life over the last week, particularly how you've lived for God, well, what would you say? You see, when the great apostle Paul gave an honest assessment of his life, he said this, Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." Is that our starting point too? Do we delight in the law of God? But he goes on, "But then I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a captive to the law of sin that dwells in my body, in my members." Do we recognize that war? You know, we do want to do the right thing, but we just keep messing up. We keep doing the wrong thing instead. The Apostle Paul, he knew that feeling, and he came to this stark assessment of his life. "Wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death?" Paul, a faithful follower of Jesus, knew his life didn't measure up. Are we as self-aware as he is? Do we recognize our predicament? Do we realize that our lives are worthy of condemnation? You see, I'd imagine that a lot of us think that this past week has been a pretty decent week. We've done okay. But God's standard is perfection, so pretty good. It's just not good enough. I don't suppose that any of us would be so bold as to suggest that we have, in fact, lived a perfect week, let alone a perfect life. And our failure to live perfectly deserves condemnation. And we've been thinking about that over the last few weeks. But the declaration this morning is no condemnation, the very opposite of what we deserve. And that's our first point this morning. The declaration, no condemnation, because God has done what we cannot do. And then we're going to see the difference that this declaration makes, both now and into eternity, as we compare death by the flesh versus life by the Spirit. And finally, we will see the debt. Debt is not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. So firstly then, the declaration. No condemnation, because God has done what we cannot do. Now, I don't know what you think of when you think or hear the word condemn or condemnation. In my mind, it brings two things to mind. A building that's being condemned, or a politician condemning an act of terrorism. But the question is, what does Paul mean? Well, back in chapter 5, he says this, "For the judgment following the one trespass brought condemnation." He was talking about the trespass, the sin, the disobedience of Adam in the Garden of Eden. This disobedience brought condemnation on the whole human race. It brought death. The condemnation was death. When Paul writes there is no condemnation, that's what he had in mind. There is no death for Christians. But how is this possible? You see, we were condemned to death with Adam. Death is, in fact, the right and fair penalty for sin, our rebellion against God. And it's a penalty everyone owes. So has God just gone soft and gone, well, they're not that bad, really, are they? I'm just going to let them off. Maybe we aren't that bad. And maybe pretty good is good enough. Well, look with me at verse 3. "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." I've got bad news for you. Pretty good isn't enough. When we look at ourselves in the mirror of God's law, we see what we are really like. And it's not a pretty picture. We are weakened by the flesh, and we cannot in and of ourselves keep God's law and live God's way. You see, when Paul uses the term flesh, he's referring to our natural sinful desire to rebel against God, our desire to do things our own way. It's the same way that he's been using it over the last few chapters, which we've seen in the last couple of weeks. And what we might call this flesh is the sinful human nature, a corrupted nature, a nature that's not as it should have been, corrupted by sin. But back now to verse 3. Notice it's not that God's law was powerless, but it is made powerless by the flesh. We cannot keep God's law. So we don't escape condemnation, death, because we're not that bad. Now listen carefully to the first four words of that verse, because these words should be music to our ears. For God has done. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. God did what we could not do. How did he do it? By sending his son, his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. There's no condemnation because Jesus has died for sin. He died to satisfy the penalty for our sin. And in doing so, read with me from verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, God didn't ignore the law. He didn't ignore our sin, but he sent his son to satisfy the requirement of the law on our behalf. You see, as sinners, we are law breakers, but through Jesus, we are counted as law keepers. It's as if we'd never broken the law at all. That's the basis for the declaration that we are not condemned. But I want you to notice that the requirement of the law is not met in those who continue to live according to the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit. As soon as we could not keep the law in our own strength, we were powerless to do so. We were weakened by the flesh, trapped by it, prisoners to it. So how is it that we can live by the Spirit? We'll take a look back at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Jesus sets us free from sin and death to live life according to the Spirit. You see, it's not a sheer act of will on our part, but it is a loving intervention on God's part. He sets us free through Jesus to live by him through the Spirit. The declaration, no condemnation, because God has done what we cannot do. Now, I mentioned a few moments ago that when I hear the word condemnation, one thing that springs to mind is a building that has been condemned. Now, back on a crisp Sunday morning in 2005, there was a huge explosion at an oil depot in Hemel Hempstead. I wonder if you remember it. It was all over the news. Thankfully, even though it was the biggest peacetime explosion in Europe, no one was seriously injured and nobody died. But a number of the surrounding buildings were very badly damaged. One of those buildings, in fact, the building on the slide, was the office I was working at the time. Clearly not on that Sunday morning. Praise God for that. But over the next few weeks, I would drive past and look at the building. I thought, well, the windows are blown out for sure, and from the roadside, it looked a bit better than the other side. It can be fixed. It can be repaired. It can be sorted out. But when the building inspectors came and had a look, they were like, no, this building is condemned. And then over the next few months, I drove past the site and saw as the building that had been condemned was literally ground down to a pile of dirt in the middle of an empty field. At some level, it was quite shocking. But that's what happens to buildings when they're condemned. They are marked for destruction. And when sin entered the world, so did death. We were condemned, marked for destruction. Not obliteration like the building, but death. Physical death, and more than that, the eternal separation from God and the experience of his wrath against sin. Eternal death. That's what it means to be condemned. But the declaration is no condemnation, because God has done what we cannot do. You see, it's like this. Suppose that when the building inspector arrived after that explosion, somehow, well, he didn't find that damaged building, but he found in its place a perfect, brand new building. There would be no condemnation then, would there? But you see, that's what's happened for Christians. Christ's perfect life stands in place of ours. In him, we are made right before God. Do we still sin? Yes, but Paul's been covering. But we're no longer condemned because of Jesus. I wonder, how does that sound to you? That's pretty good news, isn't it? I mean, it's the best news, really. And it should make us feel free. You see, as we struggle in the fight to put sin to death in our lives, there are times when we can feel like monumental. When we reflect, we might be tempted to feel that we are in fact trapped by our sin. We might feel rubbish about ourselves. We may, like Paul, feel wretched. But when we feel like that, we need to remind ourselves, as Paul does here, that we're not condemned. You see, Christ has taken the condemnation, so none remains. And if God doesn't condemn us, well, then surely we shouldn't condemn ourselves. And neither should we condemn others. We are free. You see, it's not going too far to say that Christians don't die. Yes, we'll pass from this life to the next, but we don't die. No, in physical death, we become more alive than we'll ever have been. The declaration, no condemnation, because God has done what we could not do. Okay, so moving on. What is it like to live as one who is not condemned? What does it mean to walk according to the Spirit? Do we just kind of like waft along and allow the Spirit to lead and guide us in some mystical way? Well, no, Paul shows us what it means to live according to the Spirit by showing the difference when compared to living by the flesh. The difference, death by the flesh versus life by the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You see, these are two completely different ways of thinking. On the one hand, you have the person who spends all their time thinking about the things of the flesh. Now, all of us would probably want to distance ourselves from that sort of description, because it might sound like that person who's always thinking sordid thoughts, or engaged in immoral activities, or plotting some heinous crime. But you see, to set your minds on the things of the flesh, well, for the most part, it's much more subtle than that. It's simply this, that person who at their very core is in the end self-interested, seeking to satisfy themselves. Now that brings it a little bit closer to home, doesn't it? You see, it's not just that obviously way out bad person. It's that lovely, kind, friendly neighbor who is in the end self-interested. Their thinking is inward looking. It's everyday run-of-the-mill sin, that me at the middle syndrome, which affects all of us. But on the other hand is the one who lives according to the Spirit, who is not inward looking, but upward looking. Their minds, our minds, are set on the things of the Spirit. And this is not some fanciful mystical experience. No, the things of the Spirit are the things of God, because He, the Holy Spirit, is the third person of the Trinity. His things are God's things, and His things are written throughout the pages of the Bible. Now, when I first looked at it, I thought this idea of the things of the Spirit was a little bit nebulous, kind of hard to pin down. But then I realized that actually what it is all-encompassing. It's everything about God. The things of the Spirit covers every aspect of God, His character, His law, His ways. And we get to know the Spirit through the pages of Scripture. And His ways become our ways. Our minds are set on the things that God cares about. And you know, that's not inward looking. It's first upward looking, and then it is outward looking. When we look at the life that Jesus lived, He was looking always to the needs of others. And so should we. Looking at the needs of others before our own. Paul then describes the mind again by drawing the difference in outcome. Verse 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Mind on the flesh, death. Mind on the Spirit, life and peace. The mindset on the flesh is hostile to God. God is the enemy of people like this. Now, that may well not be expressed openly, but it is that inward defiance. Verse 7, it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It's a life lived without regard for God. Maybe that's how you're living today. Do you have no regard for God whatsoever. If that's you, you're in a dangerous place. Don't stay there. Turn to Christ. Put your faith in Christ. Because you see, if we have me at the middle, we cannot live God's way. We cannot live according to his law, nor can we please God. Verse 8 says this: those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, as we said before, we cannot in our own strength live life God's way and live out God's law. However, verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. We are in the Spirit if the Spirit is in us. What about this if? If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Well, you see, it's not really a question. It has this sense. You are in the Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in you, which, of course, he does. You see, that's made clear by what Paul says. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. One of my lecturers at Cornhill, Christopher Ash, commenting on this verse, wrote this. And I think it's worth repeating in full. He puts it far better than I could. Verse 9 clarifies that life in the Spirit is not some kind of higher Christian life. It is the normal and only authentic Christian life. Those in the flesh are those without Christ. Those in the Spirit are those in whom the Spirit of God dwells. And because the Spirit of God is also the Spirit of Christ, there's no authentic spirituality outside of Christ. All who belong to Christ have the Spirit. How does that sound? If you're a Christian here this morning, you have the Spirit of God. If you have put your faith in Christ, you have the Spirit of God in you. And the Spirit gives us life. The Spirit makes us alive, even though we continue to be plagued by this body of death. He gives you. He gives me life. Look at verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You see, as Christians, we are those who, having received the Holy Spirit, having been indwelled by him, now live by him, with our minds set on him. We are alive. Do you realize that we are alive as anybody this side of eternity, no matter what people might say about how good their life is, how much they can do? When we are in Christ, we are more alive than anyone else. The great news is yet to come, though, because our mortal bodies will also be raised to eternal life with Christ. So the truth is that we are more alive now than we could be, but we're not as alive as we will one day be. When we go to be with Christ forever, then we will truly live. The difference, death by the flesh versus life by the Spirit. We're either governed by the flesh or we're led by the Spirit. I don't know if you're familiar with the kids' movie Inside Out. The key character is a girl called Riley, but most of the movie actually takes place inside her head, where there is a control room set up. And there's a control panel that controls what she does. And then there are various characters that represent the different emotions. You've got joy and sadness, fear, disgust, and anger. And being a kid's movie, obviously, joy is the hero. But the basic premise is that these emotions are battling to take control at the control desk. When anger gets hold of Riley, she goes nuts. When sadness gets control, it all goes a little bit blue. But when joy is at the controls, everything is rosy. Well, in Romans, there are only two possibilities in the control rooms of our hearts and minds. And they don't coexist. Either I am at the controls, living life my way, following my desires, the desires of the flesh, doing whatever I want without regard to God. Or the Holy Spirit, he is in control, and we live God's way, with the hope of eternal life to come. To push the illustration, because we live in sinful bodies, sometimes our limbs might do things that they shouldn't do. And of course, we mustn't say we're not responsible. We're responsible for what we do. But it doesn't change the fact that the Holy Spirit is at the controls of our lives. Our life experience is not that we disengage our brains and our wills and wait for the Holy Spirit to magically make stuff happen. But he works through our minds and our wills, changing us, transforming us, conforming us to the likeness of Christ, to change the things that we think and the things that we say and the things that we do. But more than that, he changes what we want to think and what we want to say and what we want to do. This should come as a huge encouragement to us. We don't change by a sheer act of will on our part, but we change as God, who raised Jesus from the dead, works in us through his Spirit. So let me ask you, what is your mindset on? What do you desire? What's the most important thing in your life today? I remember being challenged when someone said, "What do you spend your time daydreaming about?" That gives away a lot as to what's important to us, doesn't it? Now, of course, as we keep saying, there'll be times when we don't think what we should. But when we sit down and we really think about it, what's important to our lives? As Christians, surely our minds are taken to the things of the Spirit, aren't they? We delight in God in our inner being, don't we? Even when we feel like on the outside we aren't doing much God's way and our lives feel like a mess, we should be encouraged. Because we live. We live by the Spirit of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The declaration, no condemnation because God has done what we could not do. The difference, death by the flesh versus life by the Spirit. And finally, and very briefly, the debt. Debt is not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Now, by this point in our Romans series, I hope that a fair few of you are going, hang on a minute, what debt? I thought salvation was a free gift. Isn't that what you've been saying all these weeks? And you'd be 100% right. I did it to get your attention to a certain degree. You see, I can't stress enough how free the free gift is. Last week in our home group, we were looking at Romans 5, where five times in three verses says, free gift, free gift, free gift, free gift, free gift. So let me be clear, there is no debt to pay to secure our salvation. God has done that for us. We've already seen that this morning. But right from the beginning of Romans, we've seen that we were saved by faith, for faith. So what is this debt then? Well, look with me from verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Why does he say this? Well, he's saying that we don't have to sin because we've been set free from sin and death. He doesn't say we won't ever sin, but we do not have to. That is a subtle but important distinction. You see, we're not indebted to live according to the flesh. The flesh has no account with us. So don't pay it. We owe it nothing. You see, if we continue to live according to the flesh and we show no regard for God, will we show that we don't belong to Christ? We'll die physically and we'll face the full condemnation of God beyond the grave. You see, our debt as Christians is to live. Verse 13 again. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You see, we are indebted to take hold of the life that Christ has given us. A life that is to be lived to the full, in its truest sense. Can you see how that debt is not a burden? It's far, far from it. You see, like the butterfly set free flies, we are set free to live for Christ. So let's live for Christ. To understand the full dynamic of this debt, well, you're going to have to come back next week, as Drew looks at one of the aspects of salvation, our adoption by God, to see how that works together. But that's for next week. This morning, it's sufficient to say that as those who have been saved by God, we are indebted to live for God. And that means putting sin to death in our lives. debtors not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. The declaration, no condemnation, because God has done what we could not do. Brothers and sisters, let's praise God that we are not condemned. The difference, death by the flesh versus life by the Spirit. Is your mind set on the things of the flesh or the things of the Spirit? The debt is not to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Are you in the power of the Spirit putting sin to death in your life? As we draw to a close, I wonder if at times our persistent failure to live God's way makes us wonder whether we're really saved. It's my hope that after what we've looked at this morning, you will wonder no more. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are in Christ 100% safe and secure, both now and for all eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, what can we say but praise you for all that you have done? Father, we know that our lives are not worthy of you. Even at our best endeavors, we fail to live our life your way, perfectly and consistently. But we thank you that you have done what we could not do, and that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to take hold of that, to be encouraged by that. And Lord, as those who have been set free, we pray that you would help us to live by the Spirit and put sin to death in our lives, that we might honor you and glorify you with every part of our being. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.